following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 26, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Yeah, a little bit of change of plans today with this weather that's been rolling through and has hit Auburn, has hit so many different areas in the southeast. A little bit change of what was supposed to be happening today. As I'm sure a lot of you have had to learn and probably deal with the local schools around here, Auburn, Opelika, Lee Scott. I mean, there's a lot happening with schools and with sports and with weather. I mean, it's been kind of crazy around here today. And like I said, I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this. But Auburn High football was supposed to play tonight up at Moody. This was an originally scheduled game. It was always on Thursday. Nothing about that was a shock. Like we knew that we had a game on a Thursday night on the road at Moody. Well, then this big old hurricane starts to come through. Hurricane Helene, I believe. And the weather has really thrown a wrench in everything. And so the conversations started to be had between Auburn High and Moody, and ultimately, at the end of the day, this morning, I guess at the start of the day, if you will, this morning, they decided between Auburn High School and Moody, they decided to cancel the football game tonight. They had originally moved it up to 4 o'clock today, then they decided to cancel it, and so what the original plan was here on ESPN for this show On the Line was Christian Griffin was going to be in here with you, voice of Lee Scott. He was going to host the show this Thursday as he did last Thursday, which that was for a family event. And this one, of course, was for work to go and call Auburn High School football. But that is not happening anymore. So here you go. You got me for another day. And you can probably tell the voice is not 100% back, but we're getting there. We are getting there. And so excited to be in Auburn, excited to be here with you for the next couple of hours. Thursdays are a lot of fun around here. While it's normally jam-packed with guests, we don't have as many guests today. Coach Keith Etheridge, with everything going on at Auburn High School, with the football team and games being canceled and the weather and everything like that, told him not to worry about it today, so we won't have him. But we will still have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network at 2:30 and Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC at 3:30. So still two really, really good guests that we'll have on the show today. We'll get a lot of information from Brad Law about what you need to know for this weekend for Auburn and Oklahoma, his thoughts on the game coming up this weekend, plus anything else going on around Auburn athletics. Auburn basketball started practice this week. We may have to get into that a little bit with Brad Law. So that's coming up in just about 30 minutes. And then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, as we are really getting into the SEC schedule with some major, major matchups this weekend. So that's in hour number two. Brad's in hour number one. Other than that, though, it's you and me. What's on your mind? How are you feeling on this Thursday? I will say, stay safe, stay dry. Don't use me as your weatherman. I was looking at the radar. It appears that it's going to start getting pretty bad here in Auburn, Opelika, around 5 or 6. So just keep that in mind. If you are planning on being out and about, maybe try to get all your stuff done and get home and, just try to wait this thing out. Supposed to be okay tomorrow, supposed to be okay Saturday, but tonight seems to be the rough patch. And so with that being said, as I said, it's you and me. for the next 2 hours. You can be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. That's the number to call in and be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot me a text in the On The Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. It's time that we start taking picks. It's time that we start taking predictions. It can be for Auburn, Oklahoma this weekend. And predictions can be final score, starting quarterback, right? Who's going to be the player of the game? Who's going to step up? Who has to step up this weekend? Which side of the football has to play good, right? In Auburn, Oklahoma, we'll take all of those on the show today. And then your picks and predictions for other games as well around the SEC and around college football. I'm curious on what you all think on the Auburn or the Alabama-Georgia game. I got to get some thoughts on that. Alabama and Georgia, Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, out at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Like, there are a lot of ways you can go with this. There's a lot of different storylines in Alabama and Georgia. So I want to get your picks and thoughts on that as well. 334-321-1390. And, of course, yesterday, Wednesdays are the days that we start to flip the page and look forward to the next weekend. And that's... we're doing even more of that here today because Auburn in Oklahoma this weekend, believe I said this on the show yesterday where, man, this was supposed to be the second biggest game of the weekend in college football. Second biggest game of the weekend. And now it's just another game in the SEC. Oklahoma fell flat last week against Tennessee. Auburn embarrassed themselves at home against Arkansas. And now one team is plummeting out of the top 25 and the other team ain't even sniffing the top 25. And so I hate that it's gotten to that point, but it's just a fact. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. Let's get to the phone lines for the first time. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
This is Michael from Auburn.
What's going on, Michael from Auburn? How are you?
Good. Just on the Bama, Georgia, I mean, everything that we've always heard was a saving factor. And so I'm just kind of curious of what happens in this game without the saving factor. And I think the edge somewhat has to go to Georgia. And if not, then was the saving factor, you know, are we just going to say, well, you know, with Les Miles, you know, at LSU, that's all we heard. Well, that was just savings, you know, leftovers of what he built. And so at what point does Bama become Bama without Saban? And so I'm just curious of that factor and how that plays into everything, because the Heat, it will be turned up because they've kind of owned Georgia. And so, but I think in large part that was due to Saban. And so if he's not there and they lose, I think that Saban factor is the reason. And I think, you know, the DeBoer's going to feel a little bit of that heat of, you know, hey, we were winning, you know, against Georgia. We kind of owned them, and now, you know, something's happened. So,
yeah, those are.
If they stomp them and win, then, I mean, what are people going to say then?
Yeah.
Are they going to give credit to DeBoer, or are they going to just say, well, this is Saban and just the factor that he built? So,
yeah, those are really
good. How that plays out.
Really good points, Michael, because this is, and all of that is very, very factual, and appreciate the call, because this game between Alabama and Georgia, there's a lot of firsts in this game. This is the first test for Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. I'm not counting Wisconsin. Let's not joke around here. This is the first test, real test, for Kalen DeBoer and Alabama. This is also the first test for Alabama without Nick Saban, as Michael was alluding to. This is the first time, and it's early in the season, and I love it. It's the first time in a long, long time that the so-called Saban factor, and it ain't even so-called, it's a real thing. It was a real thing. That is not at play anymore. That's not a card that you can pull out of the deck and trump everybody else. That card does not exist anymore. It's not in the deck. We've opened up a fresh pack of cards, baby, and we're ready to go. And it's now a completely new ball game. And so, for the first time in 15 years, we are going to see a football game that is played with the Alabama Crimson Tide where the Saban factor isn't at play. And we're going to really find out how important that was. To Michael's point, we are going to find out just how much of an impact that played in every single game that Alabama was a part of. Win or loss. Win or loss. He always had a game plan. He always had a strategy. He always had a way. And that's not going to be evident this Saturday. Kalen DeBoer may have a way. Kalen DeBoer will have a game plan, and he may have a strategy. But it won't be the Saban strategy. It won't be the Saban game plan, and it won't be the Saban factor. Now, Alabama has a lot going for them. It's a night game. It's in Tuscaloosa, and they have a really good football team. All those things can be true. But Georgia's got a good team themselves. And Georgia's got a really good head coach themselves. Not quite to Saban level, but I think he's better than Kalen DeBoer, is Kirby Smart. And so, for the first time in a long time, this game is a lot more even than what it's been in recent history because of the coaching change. And this is the first time I'm speaking to non-Alabama fans, whether you're Auburn, LSU, Georgia, whatever the case may be. I'm speaking to non-Alabama fans right now for just a second. This is the first time that we are seeing the Alabama fan base watch a game, react to a game that Nick Saban is not the head coach of for a long, long time. This is the first time we've seen this and are going to be seeing it. Because let's be real, and I mean this in no disrespectful way whatsoever. Alabama fans have been spoiled for 15 years. Right? They've had it made. And if you're an Alabama fan, I'm speaking to you. You've had it made for very, very long, for a long time. And rightfully so. Saban earned that. Alabama earned that. There is nothing wrong with that. Everybody is jealous of you. But you've had it made for a long time. And even in the losses, right? You got used to winning quite a bit. You got used to winning 90% of your football games and winning national championships. And in a game like this, you felt confident walking into this if you're Alabama. And even in the losses, the few that Nick Saban took, you always had confidence because it was Nick Saban. And he could bounce back. Alabama would bounce back. And God forbid they got a chance at the same team twice, right? We knew how that went too. But this is the first time that none of that's at play anymore. And so, for every other fan base, we're going to be not only watching Alabama-Georgia play on the football field and watching the two head coaches on the sidelines, we're going to be watching that Alabama fan base. Because how will they respond? How will they react? And I would like to think that a lot of it would have to do with how the game plays out, right? With the way the final result looks. If it's a one-score loss, okay, I think you would like to think they could understand that. Georgia's a good football team. Came in, had a good game back and forth, and they just ended up winning in the end. If Alabama wins, will they be overly confident? Will they say, Saban who? But what happens if Georgia comes in and dominates? What happens if the Dogs walk in here as a road favorite, by the way, first time since 07 that Bama's been a home underdog? What happens if Georgia walks in and just has their way? Will Alabama fans be okay? Will they be understanding? Or will they just be a fan? And will they overreact? And will they lose their minds? And will they say the world has come to a stop? What are we going to do? All of that is at play here this weekend. And Michael brings up all those points. There's a lot of firsts with this game this weekend, and it goes so far beyond the final result and what we're going to see for the 3 or 4 hours inside of Bryant-Denny Stadium. Because let's get one thing clear here. The winner is in the driver's seat to do whatever they want to do this season. Win the SEC, make the playoff, represent the SEC, be a top four seed, get a first round bye, right? All of that is still at play for whichever side wins this football game. But for the loser, your season's not over. The season's not done. But will you be able to tell the losing fan base that? Will you be able to tell an Alabama fan that the sky's not falling if they lose to Georgia? And to be fair, let's look at it on the other side. Georgia's got to be licking their chops. Georgia fans have to be fired up because, yes, they've won national championships even when Saban was the head coach at Alabama. But now he's gone. The one obstacle that everybody in college football had to go through is no longer in the game. And Georgia feels they have the best head coach in college football. He's top three by far. By far. And there's a real argument to that he is the number one coach. But they feel that he is. They feel they have the best team. And they feel that it's time to take over and be the new dynasty of the Southeastern Conference. And they feel that now's the best time to do that since Nick Saban has gone. But as we continue our favorite game here during On the Line, the what-if questions, what if Georgia loses? What if Georgia gets stomped? What if Georgia loses by a possession? What if they just play terrible? Will they overreact? Will they say, we can't beat Alabama, we can't get past them, maybe this team's just not all that good? I don't know. I think historically, and again, I'm not taking shots, I promise. I think historically, Alabama fans are a lot more emotional about a loss than Georgia fans are. But both programs haven't had to deal with it much in recent years. Especially Georgia more than Alabama. Because Georgia's winning national championships. But that's what we're going to see this weekend. It goes so far beyond who wins and who loses in the 3 or 4 hours in Tuscaloosa Saturday night. We're going to learn a lot about the fans, about the teams, about the coaches, and about the directions of the programs. But what's important to note here as we get to break, the winner is in the driver's seat, but the loser is still alive. The loser has everything in front of them still. I believe that. Maybe not. You can make an argument, I guess, that the loser could still win the SEC, could still be top four, could still get the bye, all those same things. But to those in the game, for those that support those in the game, for the coaches, for the players, the administration, the students, and the fans, it means more than all those things. Because in the future, or I guess you could say the future depends on what happens here. You're going to learn and have a better idea of what the future holds based off of the result from Georgia and Alabama. Let's get to our first break in hour number one, 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number to get you through to me. You can also shoot me a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. Got a text there. We'll address it when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Dak, you're on the line, my man. How are you?
Hey, Jacob. How you doing today?
Doing good, man. Just trying to stay dry.
Ain't that the truth, man? Well, I was hoping to get to see Auburn play Saturday, but our game got canceled Friday night. And
man,
what time we're playing on Saturday now?
I bet you're playing right at the same time Auburn University is.
You couldn't say it better, man. 2 o'clock, man. Can you believe that?
God, yeah. I can, unfortunately.
But I understand that it's probably like that all over the state of Georgia and Alabama. So I guess I don't need to complain.
Right.
Well, what's your thoughts about tomorrow?
Well, you mean Saturday?
I mean Saturday.
Yeah, I know. My week's thrown off, too. My week is thrown, especially with Auburn High supposed to be playing tonight on a Thursday. It just threw everything off.
Right.
Yeah, for Auburn University playing on Saturday against Oklahoma, 2:30 kick inside Jordan-Hare. Weather's supposed to be okay, so weather should not be a factor. I think it's supposed to be, you know, partly sunny, partly cloudy, about 80 degrees. There's a lot at stake here, and I think that Oklahoma is by far the best defense that Auburn has seen so far this year and will be a top three defense they see all year And so they have to find a way offensively to get this thing turned around. And I got a text during the break that says, do you think we find a way to limit turnovers? This is going to be the biggest test for our offense up to this point. Totally agree. And I'm sure you follow that line of thinking too, Dak.
I do. And you know, it's obvious. When you watch us play after the fourth game, it's hard to watch us because you can tell there's not much confidence in the players. And that hurts. You know, you can just sense it. I don't understand why we're not running the football more, because we've been successful at it. And I think that's what it's going to take for us to win some ball games. Because if we keep throwing the football as much as we're throwing it, we're not going to win many games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, plain and simple, Jarquez Hunter has to touch it more. I mean, I think that has to happen. And I think you and I have talked about this on the show. It's like, we know Hugh Freeze calls a lot of RPOs, but man, why not eliminate some of those and just call straight up draws? I mean, why not just have design runs?
I agree with that. And you know, and use a two back system where at least he has a blocker too.
Yeah.
I would like to see us show that we are going to run the football, and I don't care that you know it. I want to see how we can do under those pretenses. I don't have a lot of time here, but
yeah, you got a couple minutes.
So I went back and I watched film from last year and this year, anytime we got into a 2-minute mode, and I was amazed. Number one, that there were several issues that I see in our 2-minute offense and what we try to do. Number one, the quarterbacks, whoever it was, takes too many sacks in a 2-minute drill. That should never happen.
And that kills it right there.
It kills it. I don't understand. Now, I don't blame the quarterback on that. I mean, once in that situation, yes. But when you're doing it on over and over, game after game, then that comes back to coaching. I don't understand why we take so many sacks in a 2-minute drill. Just throw the ball away. That's elementary there.
Yep.
All right. The second thing is, I find out that from watching this again, that it's usually half the time the receiver's fault and half the time the quarterback's fault. It's never just one person's fault. And so I can see where on a lot of those routes where the quarterback is expecting him to bend his route, and he don't. And he throws it to where the bend is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell that's where what he's supposed to do.
Would you say that's changed this year, Dak? Has that gotten better this year?
No, it's not. I've seen the same issue. Matter of fact, I've seen it more this year.
Mm.
In just the two games where we've had to go 2 minutes. And then there's been times where he misses his spot just by an inch. Just like last week when Hank was throwing the ball, if he would have just been a half a second earlier throwing the ball, it would have been a perfect throw. But because he waited just a little bit too late, it was, you know, it ended up being tilted and intercepted. But the other thing, to my amazement, that I found in all these situations, last year, Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, New Mexico State, we're in a 2-minute mode, and not one route is an intermediate or short route. Every route we ran by every receiver was over 15 yards.
Mm.
That does not make sense.
No.
That does not make sense.
You're asking for a sack right there. I mean, you're asking for it.
You are. And it's like, just like last week against Arkansas, we got the ball back down by 10, and there was 3 minutes and 35 seconds left. That is more than enough time. They should not have been in a panic mode. The routes we ran on every call was exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
Going, every route was beyond 15 yards. There were no immediate routes.
It's almost like they're trying to get too much, right? They're trying to get too much too quick. Yeah, I get it.
That's right.
I get it.
And the only time, and it was an accidental thing that happened last year against Ole Miss, same thing. But what happened was he got flushed out of the pocket, and the running back, the linebacker lost Jarquez, and he came across about 10 yards, and it was a bad throw, and he made a great catch, and he ran it for about another 40 yards. And that's how we scored that last touchdown against Ole Miss, and we got inside the 10
yep.
and then hit a slant route.
Yep.
But that was just by accident that we did that. Not one time did I find where we throw short in those situations. That just does not make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me. And man, we got to get to break. I appreciate you calling
in. Yeah, I got you, buddy.
Thanks so much, man. 334-321-1390. And I'll add on to this, Dak. We appreciate you calling in. That's a man right there who knows what he's talking about. I think it comes down to the lack of reps in the two-minute drill. Dak, I think that's what it comes down to. I think this Auburn offense, and Uncle T-Bone talks about this quite a bit when he's with me on Mondays and Fridays, the lack of urgency and the lack of speed that this Auburn offense has. Right? Why are we only in two-minute drills when you're in two-minute situations? Let's speed it up once or twice. Everybody talks about the first down, right? You get that, then we're going to go. Pick it up, let's go. Especially early in the game when your defense can afford if it doesn't work out. I think all those mistakes that Dak is highlighting is because they don't do it enough. And if you only do something once per game or once a week, you're just not going to be that good at it. All right, we'll talk to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. We'll get his thoughts on the game this Saturday. Everything you need to know for the fifth and final home game of this stretch before the Tigers hit the road, plus maybe a little basketball talk as well. Brad Law joins us next.
Are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We are halfway through hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and joining us on the phone lines with the Auburn Sports Network is Brad Law. Brad, good to hear from you, my man. I know you were on the show a week ago when Christian was filling in to me, but glad to have you back with me this week on the Thursday edition of the show.
Good to have you back as well, Jacob. It's I know it's been a lot of news and changes of plans and things of that nature. So it's good to be here. Good to talk to you.
Well, it's been hectic, but I mean it's football season, so we wouldn't expect to have it any other way. And I know that it's been hectic for all of you at the Auburn Sports Network getting ready for the fifth straight home game of the season. And as much as we do enjoy being at home on the plains in Jordan-Hare, I mean, you guys got to be looking forward to a road trip next week, huh?
Not me, man. We could play every game at home. That'd be fine with me. Because I love Jordan-Hare and I love the opportunity. And, you know, I look at it like this, and I think I've put it this way before on your show, that we wait so long for the season to start and we talk about it every day for a year. And out of season, it's 9 months that we wait. And now we've already had four home games and we only have four to go. And after this one Saturday, we don't have another one until November. So, you know, I really hold on to these and cherish these home game days and appreciate them and soak it all up. And so, yeah, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to be at Jordan-Hare again Saturday.
Well, we all will be there as Auburn takes on Oklahoma for that fifth straight home game, 2:30 kickoff. You can catch the radio broadcast with all the guys at the Auburn Sports Network here locally over on Wings 94.3. And we can get quick reactions from a week ago, Brad, from the Arkansas game from you. But since it is Thursday, we've typically moved on from that and looking into the matchup this weekend. So I'll ask it this way. What can Auburn take from last week that can benefit them this week against Oklahoma?
I think you always want to build off the positives. And the positives are the offense continues to move the ball at a very high clip. They're among the national leaders in explosive plays and yards per play. And the offense isn't broken. Now, you know, you've had the turnover issues, but the offense isn't broken. And the defense isn't broken either, by the way. Before last week, the defense was allowing 33% on third down. The defense was successful 67% of the time on third down until they met a team that was not just good at it, but leads the nation in third down conversions. And so it doesn't excuse three separate third and longs that they converted, and one of them for a touchdown. But it doesn't. What it does is it confirms that these things aren't broken and in need of massive overhauls. They're in need of small tweaks. They're in need of constant improvement, as we thought that it would be in year two of Hugh Freeze's time here. But they're not broken. They're on the right track.
Well, so many fans have been asking, Brad, about those two things in particular, the turnovers and getting off the field on third downs. Okay, can Auburn fix it? Can they do it? Can. But I think the deeper question, and one that Hugh Freeze and the coaching staff have hopefully been pondering this week, is how do we change that, right? How do you not turn it over, and how do you get off the field on third and long?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that, again, they've been getting off the field. So they didn't do it against the team that does it better than anybody else in the country.
Right.
So stop a lion from roaring. Well, you can't. It's what they do. I mean, unless you shoot the lion, but, you know, you can't do that. So, you know, that's so easy to say. And, man, we say some easy stuff to say as fans sometimes. It's just so easy. I asked Coach Freeze about the turnovers on Tiger Talk Monday night. And, you know, how do you stop turnovers? And he gave a very long answer that basically amounted to it's not, you don't just flip a switch. I mean, you know, Cam Coleman, who is an elite receiver, has had two go off his hands. Man, that's bad luck. You've had a couple of bad reads in there, but you've had some bad luck, and you've had some Sligo, and you've had some good plays from defensive players. I mean, shy of running the ball 60 times a game and taking it out of the quarterback's hand altogether, and I don't know how successful that would be, nobody has the answer. It's so easy to say, well, just cut down the turnover. They need to quit turning the ball over. Yeah, well, they know that, and we all know that, but it's not as easy. They do drills. They work on game film. He gave another interesting answer. I'll try to be quick. He gave another interesting answer on Tiger Talk Monday about the game plan. They go through the plays and all of the checks with the quarterbacks, and if they're not sure about anything, if they're not confident about anything in the offensive game plan, they scrap it. And so one of the throws that one of Hank's interceptions came on, Coach Freeze said it's his favorite play. It's his favorite route or check down or option in the RPO, and he just overthrew it slightly. So, you know, there is no easy answer. There's no simple answer. You just got to go out and however you do it, protect the ball better.
Brad, with you being such a big baseball guy, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you bring up a bad luck factor, and I'm agreeing. I think there are some things that the ball has not bounced Auburn's way. But being the baseball guy you are you a believer that where there's bad luck, the good luck's going to come back around and it'll all even itself out by the end?
Oh, yes and no. I think it does, but I don't think that it I don't really believe in karma. I don't really believe in luck. I just think, like the Bible says, rain falls on the just and the unjust. I mean, I just think it happens. I think that's okay. The way it works.
Yeah.
And boy, Auburn's had some games where they didn't catch any breaks, where every break went against them. They've had other games throughout, you know, your time covering the team, my time covering the team, where they had good breaks. They had plenty of positive breaks too. And I don't just mean the miracle at Jordan-Hare. You know, there are hundreds of little breaks throughout the course of several seasons of watching a football team. And so I think it does tend to even out just because that's just kind of what happens.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7, our weekly guest on Thursdays at 2:30. As you all have been preparing for the broadcast this Saturday as Oklahoma comes to town, it's unique because it's their first trip to Auburn, to Jordan-Hare. And I know that's stuff that you and I really get, you know, we romance about. We love stuff like this and seeing new teams and new helmets and things like that. But what can you tell us in your studies and your preparations in terms of what Oklahoma will bring on Saturday?
Yeah, really good defensive line, big offensive line, sort of a rebuilt transfer heavy offensive line. But I, you know, both team strengths are their defense at this point in the year. Statistically, I think that Auburn's offense is still, all people are looking at are the turnovers, and I understand that, but it's been too good outside of the turnovers to think that that's going to be the story of this team when it's all said and done. But both defenses are ahead at this point. You know, both offenses are struggling with who's going to be the quarterback. Oklahoma's got the freshman that's going to start on the road for the very first time, and I think that's a factor in this game. I do think turnovers are a factor, and they're one of the best in the country at forcing them. So clearly that's right in the bullseye of your storylines. But they've had injuries in the wide receiver core. Auburn's had injuries, obviously, in the secondary. So you're looking at very young players there who are going to be stepping up against a receiver core that freshman is going to really hope to lean on. I mean, I think it's really compelling. What team gets the special teams play? Oklahoma's kicker, I think, is listed as questionable for the game. So what role will special teams and the return game play in this ballgame? There are a lot of tentacles that are going to be deciding factors in this game.
And I feel like, too, you mentioned that so many people are looking at Auburn's turnovers on offense. I feel like from a week ago for Oklahoma and Tennessee, everybody's looking at their offense like it's non-existent. But I think that Tennessee defense is one of the better ones we've seen in years now. So maybe there's some wiggle room there.
Yeah, I think that both things are true. I think their offense is far behind their defense. And it's not just based on the Tennessee game. I do think Tennessee's defense is legitimate, and people aren't really talking about it because the offense is so electric, and that's been the identity. But, you know, Oklahoma put up 16 points in a win over Houston. They scored 34 against Tulane, but it wasn't all that impressive in doing so. And, you know, Hawkins, the quarterback, led them to one very late touchdown drive. And Josh Heupel has essentially admitted that they pulled the reins back on their entire game plan after that game because of the way the defense was playing. So, you know, the people in Norman have been concerned about their offense. They didn't have one offensive lineman returning from a year ago. It was a completely rebuilt line. And a lot of people judge Jackson Arnold's performance from their bowl game. And as we've said many, many, many times, and as ESPN has told us throughout the years, that unless it's a playoff game, the bowl game doesn't matter. So they have real questions. And then add to that a rash of injuries along the offensive line and in the receiver core. And there are absolutely legitimate questions about the Oklahoma offense.
Well, you bring up quarterbacks, and I want to flip to the Auburn quarterback situation, and it's an obvious one, right? The question is, who starts, who should start, who's the better option, who gives Auburn the best chance to win? I mean, you've seen bits and pieces of these quarterbacks, and Hank, of course, struggled in his first career start in college, and Peyton Thorne came in and led both touchdown drives in the second half. I mean, what's your assessment of what the current state of the quarterback room is, and then ultimately who gets the nod this Saturday?
Yeah, well, the Cal game was an anomaly. Peyton's not had a game like that before, the pick that he threw against Arkansas was a ball that Cam Coleman will tell you himself that he should catch every time. He has that expectation for himself. So he came in, Peyton came in, led two touchdown drives, and I think he's capable of going out and leading Auburn to a win in this game. I haven't closed nobody should think that Hank's story is finished based on one half in his first ever SEC game. That's not logical. That's not wise. And I think the staff still trusts him and believes in him. I would be surprised, Jacob, if it's Hank, because now I haven't seen the practices. I haven't seen what they've done in practice. Coaches know that. But as multiple as Oklahoma's defense is, as complex as it can be, and just the amount of things that they can throw at an opposing quarterback, my guess is, my completely uneducated opinion is, the staff probably feels a little more comfortable the way Peyton finished the game last week, starting him and letting him have the first crack at trying to deal with that complex multiple defense of Oklahoma.
Well, we shall see Auburn and Oklahoma Saturday, 2:30, inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. I'm going to go ahead and let you plug everything people need to know in terms of all of that, because then we're going to get to basketball in just a second since practice started this week. But in terms of the broadcast, everything people need to know for Saturday, Brad, tell them what that is.
Yeah, 11:30, Wings 94.3. We will have the Tiger Tailgate Show. Our guests include Charles Barkley,
hey,
Bruce Pearl, David Rocker, Wes Byram, Tommy Jackson, the Opelika native. He's now Dr. Tommy Jackson. Can't believe it's been almost 20 years since he played here. Really looking forward to that interview. And others that'll be with us on the show. It's loaded. I mean, we're start to finish for 2 hours on the Tiger Tailgate Show, loaded with content. Then we'll take it inside the stadium for the countdown, the kickoff, and then all that starts at 11:30 Saturday morning on Wings 94.3. Hope people will join us either in person outside the stadium at our stage or certainly on the radio.
And as I mentioned this week, not to wish football season away at all, but Auburn basketball is underway. Practice has started. And, Brad, it's no secret this is one of the most talented teams I think Auburn's probably ever had.
Yeah, no question. Both from the freshman class and transfer portal. And if you look at the, you know, when you go to the roster and see senior, grad student, senior, fifth year, junior, senior. I mean, there is so much experience on this roster as well. Really looking forward to seeing the bigger sort of the more imposing backcourt with JP Pegues. Almost called him JJ. With JP Pegues, a little more size transfer from Furman. And then certainly the freshman Tahad Pettiford, and we'll see if Denver Jones plays any guard. We're going to see how much we see Janai and Dylan on the floor at the same time. What kind of leaps does Chaney Johnson make? And Chris Moore, the grandfather of the group, and his leadership as a fifth year. There's just so many different options for how this team should be able to play and play fast and play intense. And that's become the MO for BP's teams. And so there'll be a lot of hype around this team, ready to kind of see them get it in gear.
And, of course, they do get it in gear with about as tough of a schedule as you can ask for in non-conference play. The SEC schedule is no slate, or it's no joke either. Auburn basketball is going to have a lot of fun. But before they get started, we got more Auburn football. It's the Tigers inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. They host Oklahoma in the fifth and final game at home in this stretch. Kickoff at 2:30, Tiger Tailgate Show at 11:30 on Wings 94.3. Brad, we appreciate your time, my man, and telling everybody what they need and where they can find it. Hope you all have a fantastic broadcast on Saturday afternoon.
Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate it very much. War Eagle.
War Eagle to you as well. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. You can check them out on social media. Tiger Talk on Mondays over on Wings 94.3. Also, speaking of Tiger Talk, in case you did miss it on Monday, we re-air that right here on ESPN 106.7 on Thursday. So stick around after the drive with Bill and Dan. At 6 o'clock, we will re-air the one-hour Tiger Talk program that is right here on ESPN 106.7. 6 o'clock on Thursday night. So be sure that you, if you missed it, want to re-listen to it, whatever, you can catch that right here on ESPN. And then, yes, Saturday, a ton of coverage on Wings 94.3. Tiger Tailgate Show goes live at 11:30, which means Jack Hutton and Uncle T-Bone will be live at 9:30 Saturday morning on Wings 94.3 for game day on Wings. Those two are doing a fantastic job. They're a lot of fun to listen to, man. They cover so many games, so many storylines, and a lot of Auburn football. They will be live 9:30 a.m. on Wings 94.3 for game day on Wings 94.3. 2 hours of them. They'll lead you into the Tiger Tailgate Show. You heard that. Bruce Pearl, Charles Barkley, and more in the chamber. So keep that in mind, and then they'll get you ready for kickoff between Auburn and Oklahoma, 2:30 on Saturday. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up hour number one. Phone lines are open until 3:30, so if you've got thoughts, I want to hear them. 334-321-1390. Wrapping up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Good to catch back up with him since I missed him last week. He's with us every Thursday at 2:30 here on ESPN. So always thankful for his time and always a fun conversation with him. If you missed it, we got into shooting lions, if you missed that. We talked about, how to kill a lion. So be sure you go back in and catch up with that conversation. In the podcast version of the show, you'll find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Here's what's coming up in hour number two. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, the daily Southeastern Conference podcast, will be joining us at 3:30. We'll talk about all the games around the SEC, get his picks and predictions on those. No Coach Keith Etheridge this week since the game got canceled tonight. We were going to have something pre-recorded since the game was tonight. I wasn't supposed to be here today. It's just been kind of crazy with everything going on in the weather. And so no Coach Etheridge. We'll take a break from him. Since it's a bye week, we will pick back up next week because next week is Auburn and Central. That's right, Auburn High School and Central Phoenix City. The Red Devils are the number one team in 7A. Auburn High School, the number two team in 7A. So that is a big matchup next week. We'll have Coach Etheridge back on the show 3 o'clock on Thursdays for that starting next week. So you can get in on the show 334-321-1390. If you call in, you'll be the first one up to start the second hour. Going to talk some more Auburn football against Oklahoma. We'll get to all of that and as well some more games around the Southeastern Conference, around college football. So all of that coming up in hour number two. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Got just about 30 seconds before the music kicks me out of here. But as we were talking about with Brad, this Auburn basketball team is going to be a lot of fun, man. This is going to be an unbelievably fun team. Experienced the galore. I mean, this team is one of the oldest teams in college basketball. As he was saying, you've just got senior, fifth year, senior, on top of your exciting freshman of Tahad Pettiford, right? A guy like him who's going to come in, and Ja'Kai Howard, who's going to be a beast as well, and have this team high-flying, high-shooting, high-scoring. I mean, this Auburn basketball team is going to be a lot of fun. They started practice this week, so start getting excited, basketball fans. Auburn basketball with Coach Bruce Pearl, it's right around the corner. All right, coming up in hour number two, we're going to get to the phone lines. Would love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Talking Auburn, Oklahoma. Talking more games around the SEC in college football. And Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us at 3:30. All that coming up in hour number two. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and listen to the podcast version of the show. All we do is take the show, condense it down, throw it on the website for you, okay? You can find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, started talking Auburn and Oklahoma, dove into that a little bit. Also talked about Alabama and Georgia. Had some really fascinating thoughts to start the show today, thanks to Michael calling in hour number one and talking about a Nick Saban-less Alabama for the first time in a long time, taking on the Georgia Bulldogs, who are hungry for revenge. So all of that in hour number one, plus Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining joined us talking Auburn, Oklahoma. Talked about the Tiger Tailgate Show and a stacked guest list that they're going to have on Saturday, and also a little Auburn basketball as well. So check that out, podcast, ESPNAU.com. That was the first hour. Here in hour number two, we're going to get to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC in about 30 minutes. He'll join us, as he does every Thursday, to talk all the biggest games around the Southeastern Conference this weekend. No coach Keith Etheridge from Auburn High School football. In case you missed it, our game tonight, Auburn High, was supposed to be on the road at Moody. We are no longer on the road at Moody because of the weather. That game was canceled, and so we gave Coach Etheridge the week off for being on the show as well. So he'll join us next Thursday at 3 o'clock. We're about to get to Terry in just a second, but before we do, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN during On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So be sure you check them out. We appreciate them sponsoring the second hour from 3 to 4 o'clock each and every day here on ESPN Radio. Let's get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line, my man. How are you?
Hey, Jacob, how's it going?
It's going all right.
Good. Let me tell you, Hugh Freeze is going to start Peyton Thorne Saturday, and he's going to play him a lot. And he's going to throw interceptions, take sacks, and Auburn's offense is constantly going to be three and out because that's who Peyton Thorne is. That's what he is. Mm. He's a fifth-year senior that's had plenty of chances to get better, and he hasn't. But Hugh Freeze is going to use that tired old wimpy excuse, well, he's got experience, which I think is the most overplayed, overrated excuse in the world. And I called up the drive the other day and was talking about freshman quarterback seems to have a success everywhere except Auburn. Well, they're going to start a freshman quarterback from Oklahoma Saturday, most likely, correct?
Yes, that's reported. They are starting Hawkins.
And he'll be successful to a degree, enough to be competitive and probably win the game. Tennessee starting a freshman quarterback.
And
Clemson started a freshman quarterback
in
the national title.
Yeah.
Nick Saban started a freshman quarterback and got to the national title, right?
Auburn started a freshman quarterback, and Bo Nix did okay.
Right, exactly. So if you're gonna have a fifth-year senior who's going to make freshman-type mistakes, why not play a freshman?
I mean, it's not a bad line of thinking. So you're in favor of what, Hank Brown?
Any freshman. I mean, you can't throw the baby out by the bathwater, just to borrow an old saying. He threw three interceptions, one of which was not really his fault, the tip one. I would play again. He gives you the only shot to throw the ball down the field to be competitive. Peyton Thorne's not going to. He's not going to. He's just going to stand there and take a sack. I hate that. Well, he's got experience. I can't stand that. I just literally cannot stand it.
I think that excuse, or I guess that reasoning, I don't want to say it as an excuse right now, but that reasoning is legitimate until the performance doesn't get better. And I think that's what you're trying to say here is, look, it made sense to start Peyton this year because he had the experience and the offense was better and he had a year in the system, yada, 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 right? All the crap we heard, right?
Makes sense, quite honestly, Jacob, until he gets some other guys there.
Yeah.
That's really what he's saying. He's not saying that, but it really is that you read between the lines, so to speak.
But I think they had confidence that he was going to be better, especially with the tools around him, but that just wasn't the case in the couple of times that we saw him. But I want to ask you this, Terry. Were you impressed by what Peyton did a week ago in the second half, where he came in and led both touchdown drives, and the one interception he threw was because Cam Coleman, the dude they're paying a lot of money to catch footballs, didn't catch it?
No, I was more impressed with KLS, who caught the touchdowns and ran the long distance of the touchdowns. Peyton Thorne's got to do a lot more than that to impress me.
That's fair.
I mean, he does better with talent around him, but who doesn't? I mean, how do you say, did Michael Jordan go, is he great because he had Scottie Pippen, or was Scottie Pippen great because he had Michael Jordan?
Both.
I know that's totally different, but you know what I'm saying.
I do. I know what you're getting at. And here's the bottom line, Terry. Here's the bottom line. I don't care if it's Peyton Thorne, Hank Brown, Holden Garner, Walker White, or if Hugh Freeze straps on and plays quarterback. Somebody's got to step up. Somebody has to step up, take the reins, and demand that they're going to be the leader on this offense and act like they want to play college football. And they have to step up and make the plays. And if there's nobody on the roster, then guess what? Hugh Freeze should have gone and gotten one. That shoulda, coulda, woulda. Then you got to hope that you're around next year to have that opportunity.
And Hugh Freeze needs to be that guy, quite honestly. I'm the head coach of this decision. I'm sticking with it no matter what.
I mean, yeah. Here's the problem, though, too, is we haven't had enough proof long-term for Freeze and the coaching staff to make a confident decision. I mean, I guarantee it, if you were to sit Hugh Freeze down behind closed doors and it never leak out to anybody, ask him one-on-one, if you start Peyton Thorne Saturday, are you 100% confident in that? He would say no. If you start Hank Brown Saturday, are you 100% confident in that? He would say no. There's not 100% confidence in anybody in that room right now.
No, there's not. And you're right, Jacob. Last thing, Jacob, does this show what I think, what a lot of people think, that there's just that big a difference between the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten because Peyton Thorne had all that experience at Michigan State?
That's a good.
They have a great receiver and a great running back.
I think so. I think
does that show how big the discrepancy is between those two leagues.
You could use this as an example. Sure, I think so. Yeah. But I'll say this too: if you remember Peyton Thorne at Michigan State, when he did struggle, it was against the top tier teams of the Big Ten, esque Ohio State. I mean, they tore him up.
Jacob, look, the guy's a fifth year senior. He's reached his peak. He's not going to get any better. And my original statement was: if you're going to play, a guy's going to make freshman mistakes. Why not play a freshman?
There you go. I guess we'll find out.
Care.
Thanks so much, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. I'm curious on where other people stand because here we are again. It's now week 5 of the college football season, and the conversation is back to where we started with the quarterback situation. Here we go again. And look, I know you get tired of hearing about it. Believe me, I get tired of talking about it sometimes. Like, man, how many times, right, to go down this rabbit hole, I guess, how many times have we said Auburn is just a quarterback away? Auburn's just a quarterback away from being successful. They get the next Cam Newton, Nick Marshall, Jared Stidham, Bo Nix. They're going to be great. How many times have we said that? And yet, we still can't make it happen. And this goes back to the conversation, too, where it's reasonable to believe that Hugh Freeze believes that too. So he went to get everybody else he could around the quarterback, try to get through this season and hope that it worked out with a mediocre quarterback, and then go and get a big time one. And year 3 was going to be the year. That plan has since backfired, Hugh. It has backfired. It has blown up in your face, and now you're in trouble. And now you can't go get somebody. You can't go magically mold a quarterback with a 3D printer in the engineering department. Not going to happen. So now Auburn has to figure out, okay, who gives us the best chance to win? And at some point, right, at some point, and man, we had this conversation on Monday, players have to take some responsibility here. There has to be one of those dudes in the quarterback room that just makes the mental decision, I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to play better. I'm going to study so hard and prepare so hard and work so hard that there's no doubt on who the starting quarterback is for the Auburn Tigers. And until that happens, until somebody makes that decision, and then backs that decision up with their actions and their performance and being judged on their performance. Until all of that happens, man, we can sit here and debate quarterbacks all we want. We can sit here and argue and agree or disagree or come up with a million different interesting points, right? We could do this until we're dead. But until somebody steps up and starts to execute on any certain or any sort of positive level and consistent level, none of it matters. None of it matters. Because Auburn has proven that they can't win with mediocre quarterback play. They can't. Hugh Freeze told you that. He told us that. Auburn is not in a position to play poorly and win football games. And guess what? You've seen that. Auburn's 2-2, flirting with 2-3, will go 2-4, and then it'll be 2-5 if this Saturday doesn't go well. Is that where you want to be? Is that where anybody wants to be? No. And so at what point does a quarterback sit in his room or in the locker room or in a meeting or at practice or at dinner or lay in bed at night and say, man, I don't want to be 2-5. I don't want to be 2-5. I don't want to be the laughingstock of the SEC. I'm tired of it. Who's going to do that? Does that guy exist? Does he have a scholarship at Auburn? Is he enrolled at the university? Because through four games, I don't believe so. I don't think he exists. And if he does, he doesn't live in Auburn, Alabama. And that is a problem. But we were told that he did. We were told that that guy was already on the roster. We were told that that guy was there a year ago. It just took him a little bit longer to get ready. And yet, here we are four games in, and we're right back to where we started. Who is the quarterback? Who's it going to be? Who won't turn it over? Who will get it to the receivers? Who will make the right decisions? Who won't get sacked in two-minute drills? And we still don't have that answer. And man, if you can't tell, that's frustrating. And I hope that I speak for a lot of you Auburn fans. I hope I speak for a lot of you. Because at what point do we quit making excuses and just fix the problem? At what point do we quit putting duct tape on the boat to stop the leak and just put a new board down and replace it and fix it and move on? Hugh Freeze had a chance to do that this offseason, and he didn't do it. And I know that he thought he was doing the right thing, and he believed in the guys in his room. Hindsight's 20/20. I get that. But it didn't work. And now you're stuck. And now you have no choice. Well, actually, you have two. Figure it out or get out. And that's where Auburn stands today. Let's take our first break in hour number two. Phone lines are still open, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on who should start this Saturday at quarterback for Auburn, your picks and predictions for Auburn and Oklahoma or any other game around the SEC. More on all of that when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a little fired up in that last segment. Got a little fired up there. Because Auburn plays Oklahoma this weekend. And here we go again. I just don't have confidence that Auburn is going to win. I don't know. I'm not making my prediction yet. But I've still got to find some confidence. I got to do a little bit more research, if you will, as Uncle T-Bone says. Got to do a little bit more research before I make my final decision. Auburn, Oklahoma, they do play this Saturday. They play, of course, 2:30 inside Jordan-Hare, ABC television, or Wings 94.3 here locally on the radio. And a lot of talk this week, most of the talk this week, about Alabama and Georgia. And rightfully so, right? I mean, that game is huge. We're going to talk to Chris Gordy about that coming up in just a few minutes. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He'll be with us at the bottom of the hour, so coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And phone lines are open, so you can be a part of the program, 334-321-1390. We mentioned these the other day, but other games going on around the SEC. Kentucky is about to walk into Oxford, Mississippi, and take on Ole Miss. And a lot of people are writing this game off, and it probably will end up being a blowout, but I will at least keep track of it. 11 a.m. on Saturday on ABC. It's the game before Auburn, so there you go. I'm going to keep up with this one because Kentucky has proven to us that they can play football. They can play. May not be pretty, but they can. And Ole Miss, as most people have said, have yet to play anybody with a pulse, have yet to play any team that's not a high school squad. So we're going to find out a little bit about what Kentucky is or about what Ole Miss is. Probably not much, but we'll learn a little bit. And the Ole Miss schedule does pick up as it goes. I mean, it's been a joke so far. Furman, MTSU, Wake Forest, and Georgia Southern. They play Kentucky this weekend at South Carolina. Appears to be next weekend. So, okay, that's fine. That's fine, I guess. Then they go to LSU, who is still a top 15 team. I don't see how. They play Oklahoma, but that game's at home. Doesn't matter how good the Oklahoma defense is. Ole Miss can outscore them. Then at Arkansas, okay. Then they do host Georgia on November 9th. They play at Florida and home for Mississippi State. So maybe that schedule doesn't get a whole lot tougher. Maybe it doesn't get all that much crazier for Ole Miss. But don't write off the Kentucky game this weekend until at least, I don't know, first half. At least until the first half. Got a text in the on-the-line text box. Our boy Jones, who wrote a very insightful letter the other day to Hugh Freeze, and I screenshotted it. I'll probably print it out, save it, and put it in my office. I mean, he let it rip on a massive text chain to me about being bold, assertive, and an Auburn man to Hugh Freeze. So we'll get to that one day. Not today. But he does text me this in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And he says, do you think if we asked Tim Cook to provide $10 million annually towards NIL, Auburn could get the type of players that Alabama and others have always had? He says, send me his cell so I can request his support. Yeah, it's funny you think I have his phone number. Well, this topic comes up every now and then, the Tim Cook topic in particular. And look, nobody, in my opinion, is required or should be expected to donate to NIL to their former schools. You've already paid a lot of money to be an alum from there anyway. And I more so say that as the average Joe, as the average person, myself being included. Like, I don't make hundreds of millions of dollars like Tim Cook does. Billions of dollars with a B. I do have a degree from Auburn, and I love it. And I will, when I get to a point in my life as an older adult where I can donate money to Auburn, I probably will. But for somebody like Tim Cook, $10 million a year, will he see that or feel that? I mean, no, probably not, or Apple or whoever it is. But yeah, if you start making $10 million a year, yeah, you can buy some pretty good players with that. But I don't think he is expected to do that, nor should he, and he's definitely not required. And some people are interested in doing that, and other people are not. But I think with NIL as a whole, it's going to only continue to grow. Individual player payments will continue to grow until there is something that limits it. And I think that's where a salary cap comes in. I think that's where college teams, college programs, collectives, the university, whatever, I think eventually needs to have a salary cap. Because if you don't, it will never stop. And we've already started seeing complications of what happens when you don't get stuff in writing, right? Speaking about UNLV, where you have players leaving and redshirting in the middle of the season because they didn't get what they were promised. Now, it's on them for not getting in writing, but it's also on the people for not following up on their word. So, I don't know. I just feel with NIL, there's going to have to be some limiting factor. And unfortunately, as most things do, as most things play out, when there's something that builds like this, when there's something new that is created or a new trend or a new strategy or a new, I guess, game plan, if you will, when something like this is created, and I'm not just talking about in sports, I'm talking about in life, a new policy, that's a good word for it, a new policy has emerged. People abuse it for a while. They see it, they hear about it, they start partaking in it, they start partaking in it, and they start partaking in it, right? And then it just grows, and it catches on, and other people start doing it, and then it grows, and then people find better ways to do it and bigger ways to do it, and they continue to make it bigger, better, faster, stronger, whatever it is. And in this case, we're talking about NIL. But every single time when something like this emerges from nowhere, or even something that has been wanted for a while and then it finally happens, it typically goes from 0 to 100 really quick, doesn't it? It typically goes from absolutely nothing to the farthest extreme possible. And it takes a backbreaking event for that to be limited, for the reins to be pulled back on this a little bit. And I think that's what's going to happen with name, image, and likeness. I really do. I think it may not be one singular event. It very well could be. But I think it's going to be a strain of events that are very similar to each other. And this UNLV thing could very well be it. Could be it. This could be the start of it anyway, where bad things start happening, people start getting burned, lawsuits begin to take place, and once the wrong person or the wrong party gets burned, the whole thing will come to a halt. And then they'll put limits and restrictions, and they'll tie it up real nice in a bow like they were supposed to do when this whole thing started. Do you see where I'm going with this? NIL's out of control, man. Transfer portal, out of control. NIL, out of control. Until something happens, until something traumatic happens, I guess, it's going to continue. That's the thing. It's going to continue to happen. And so for Auburn in particular, you've just got to find the funding. And then when you get the funding, you've got to spend the funding. And you've just got to be competitive for any program nowadays. Football, basketball, volleyball. Doesn't matter. You have to be competitive and use the resources that you're given and use the tools that are available. And there are certain programs, this is not a shot, but I look at Ohio State, who they said, wait, there's no limit? We can just spend money? We can buy players? Huh. Okay. We have one of the largest alumni bases in the country. Let's use them. And they are. Look at Ohio State, man. Their roster is ridiculous. Their coaching isn't all that great, but their roster is insane. It's because they're buying it. They're paying for it. And again, this is not a shot. This is not Nick Saban taking shots at other coaches. This is me making an obvious statement about what's happening in college athletics. You want the best? You're going to pay for it. And until something changes, that's the way it's going to be. I don't like it. But that's just the state of the world that we live in. And it is what it is. It'll come back down to earth. We'll look back one day in history. Quote me on this. We'll look back in history one day. We'll say, man, you remember when NIL was started? Do you remember when they let that happen? And everybody just started buying players. It was the highest bidder. It was pay to play, pay to win. It's like a video game, man. It's like Call of Duty. You just pay to win. We're going to look back in these years and say, man, I can't believe we let them do that. I can't believe that that was a thing. I don't know when that day is going to come. I really don't. But until then, if you're Auburn, football, basketball, track and field, don't matter. Take advantage of it. Do what you got to do to be competitive and stay competitive, because I promise you there are other programs, they don't have morals. They don't have problems with it. They'll go right ahead. They're not worried about it. They'll do whatever they got to do to win a football game. And I think Auburn needs a little bit more of that in them. All right, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break because Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, he will join us coming up after this. We'll talk Auburn, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia, and all the other games and storylines going on around the SEC. Chris Gordy joins us coming up next.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and we have this guy on because he does just that. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris, great to have you on the show, my man. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday.
Yeah, I love when you say hold nothing back. I wish the Auburn quarterbacks would hold something back. It might help them.
Hold the football back. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that has been a slight topic of conversation. We have mentioned that just a couple of times here throughout this week of a slight turnover problem on the Plains.
Yeah, it's been a problem, man, and it sucks because you start to get into this situation now where you're kind of in no man's land. We talked about the Hank Brown experience, and, you know, maybe the timing was right to start him against New Mexico, but kind of in hindsight, I look back on it and say, it's a little bit of fool's gold, right? I mean, he looked so good in that game. And then, you know, his next career start is against an SEC opponent. I don't care if it's Arkansas or whoever it is. It's just, you knew the competition was going to be tougher. And, you know, it was just tough for him to go from playing a cakewalk against New Mexico to a pretty good, much improved Arkansas team. And so, you know, I think it hasn't been officially announced, but I would assume, at least from how Hugh Freeze has been talking and what we saw in the latter part of Saturday's game, is that they're probably going to go back to Peyton Thorne this week. And I think he probably does give you the best chance to win. But now in hindsight, I look back and go, maybe it would have been better to have Peyton Thorne get the work the kinks out against New Mexico, get some confidence back going. And then, you know, maybe he takes care of the football a little bit better against Arkansas last Saturday. Maybe Auburn wins that game. Maybe he only throws one pick and they eke out a close win. So, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You always kind of look back and say, how could we have done this differently? But I just know this, Jacob. This season is going to go sideways if Auburn doesn't run the football more. Jarquez Hunter, absolutely atrocious that he only had, whatever it was, 12 carries on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He was running effectively, averaging over 5.5 yards a carry. I just, you know, and he comes off the 152-yard game against New Mexico. Run the freaking football. Stop throwing it and putting it into harm's way. I know that, you know, I know that you look at it and say, all right, well, we got all these big-time receivers. That's awesome. But at the end of the day, you got to run the freaking football if you're Auburn. You got a Porsche basically sitting there in the driveway, and, you know, you're not taking care of it and getting it out there.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jarquez Hunter, Damari Alston. I know he fumbled into the end zone last week, but he's still a really good running back. And you have guys like Jeremiah Cobb and Malcolm Simmons, who's a receiver, but who is speedy, one of the fastest guys on the team. I mean, why not try to keep it on the ground and see? It's already been effective, so why not keep doing it?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, for all the issues Auburn has, and yeah, you know, are they the laughing stock and people making fun of them right now? Sure. But this thing is still fixable. There's a lot of correctable things on this team. And again, you know, the hope is they start to fix some of those things this week. It might get uglier before it gets better with going at Auburn the next week and then, you know, bye week before you got to go to Mizzou. But the good news is Mizzou has looked fallible these last 2 weeks, playing close with Boston College and, you know, nearly giving it away against Vanderbilt. So, you know, you'll feel good about that game. We'll see where Kentucky is and Vandy when you get there. But the point being, there's a chance you win this one. You're probably not going to beat Georgia, but you do have a chance if you could play one of your best games of the year at Missouri. You have a chance to win off perhaps four or five in a row after that. I think that schedule is doable for Auburn. And, you know, maybe we're talking about a team that bounces back and gets to, you know, maybe you get to 7, maybe even 8 wins by the time you get to the Alabama game. We'll see. But, you know, it starts with this weekend. This is one of those 50-50 games. Find a way to beat Oklahoma, and I think the future will look a little bit brighter.
Should have brought you on earlier this week, Chris. I didn't know you had so many positive things to say about Hugh Freeze and the Tigers.
Well, I'm just saying because it's been all negative. And I just, and when I, you know, it was funny because we're talking, I spent so much of this week talking about Georgia and Alabama. And whoever loses that game, God, the rest of the schedule is brutal. There's
right.
way more potential losses on the schedule for both those teams. I look at Auburn's and say, yeah, you got to, you know, we're already putting an L at Georgia. But outside of that one, I think a lot of those other teams are games are winnable. And you know, it'll be 50-50 type games. Go win your 50-50 games.
I mean, yeah, seems right to me. Seems like a legitimate thing to do if you ask me. And so before we dive into a lot of these games that are happening this weekend, of course, more Auburn, Oklahoma, Bama, Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss. We're a month into the season now, Chris, which is hard to believe. We're 4 weeks in. And I want to ask you, up to this point, I know it's still early. You have teams like Ole Miss who haven't played anybody, and you have teams like you know, Oklahoma and others that have played a decent schedule so far. Who has been the most surprising and the most disappointing up to this point for you in the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, I would say probably, most surprising. I knew Tennessee had a chance to be good. I think they've passed the smell test even better than I thought at this point. So you know, they're obviously a little, being a top five team is impressive. But I had Tennessee going 10-2 this year, and they still very well could go 10-2. So they're not as surprising. I think Arkansas is a little bit better than I thought they would be. You know, really should have won that game at Oklahoma State. If they had held on to that big lead in Stillwater and pulled that one out, I mean, we'd be talking about a 4-0 Arkansas team right now, and you know, probably ranked around 24, 25 in the top 25. So, you know, I think Arkansas has certainly been the nice surprise. You know, who's disappointed? I mean, again, I put Auburn in that category so far. You know, Kentucky, I think Brock Vandergriff, it's been a nightmare so far offensively for them. You know, this is a big, big game for them against Ole Miss. A lot of people forget, that's a game 2 years ago. Kentucky lost 22-19 and had every chance in the world to win that game against Ole Miss, and they blew it. Will Levis, I think, threw a pick and fumbled, and they kind of gave it away. But, you know, this is a game where you got to score points to beat Ole Miss. And to your point, you said Ole Miss really hadn't played anybody. You know, Lane Kiffin, I don't know if it's gaslighting or what, but he's been saying all week Kentucky's got an NFL-caliber defense. You know, it'll be very interesting to see if Brock Vandergriff can you know, play his best game of the year. I think Kentucky can find themselves in a close game with Ole Miss. But, you know, like I said, I think in terms of most impressive or kind of surprised, I think Arkansas fits that category. I think Tennessee, you know, even South Carolina sitting at 3-1, you know, again, they were a fourth quarter debacle against LSU from being 4-0 right now. So that was great to see. But, you know, Kentucky's been disappointing. Mississippi State's been atrocious. We knew they were going to be bad. I didn't think they'd be this bad. I think Jeff Levy's a good offensive mind. And now they lose Blake Shapen for the year, an absolute disaster in Starkville. So, you know, this is a year if you don't have Mississippi State on your schedule, you wish you did. And then the other one, Florida. I mean, Florida's just a mess. But, you know, maybe they've gotten the train back on the tracks. Maybe they get this dual quarterback thing is going to work out for them. But we know the schedule is brutal for the Gators coming up.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, he's with us here on ESPN 106.7. Let's dive into some of these games. A lot of SEC teams are off this week, and most teams getting started in the SEC for the first time this year. Of course, Texas, that you mentioned, Mississippi State, just bad. I mean, 37.5-point favorite in an SEC matchup. That's got to be up there with one of the biggest spreads we've seen in quite some time.
It is, and it almost feels like it's too big. I know Michael Van Buren, I think, is the name for Mississippi State, but got in there and played a little bit. It's a tough ask for him. I think Texas has got a really, really good defense. The only thing is, you know, Sark is keeping his cards close to the vest. He keeps saying that Quinn Ewers has not been ruled out yet. I still think it's kind of silly. I mean, why not just give Arch Manning one more start? And I think, you know, you start Arch, and I think they'll still win big. Now, Arch did make two mistakes last week with all his touchdown passes. He threw an early interception, and he threw another interception later in the game. So, you know, he called him moments to grow from, and obviously Arch, you know, is still very green. But here's the challenge with Texas. After this game, you got a bye week, and then it's the Red River Shootout with Oklahoma, and arguably one of your biggest games of the year. Now, Oklahoma has not looked great, but we know that's a rivalry game. And even in years where Oklahoma's not been great, they still beat Texas. You know, they did it last year. So, you know, it's a dangerous game. And if you're Sark, the challenge is that the game you want to bring Quinn Ewers back after being out for a couple weeks? I remember early in that game, I think it was the first drive of the game, Texas had the ball and threw an interception. Quinn Ewers threw an interception. And then not two drives later, he threw another interception. And it nearly cost them the game. They ended up losing the game. They took the lead in the final minute, but still gave it away. Is that the game you want Quinn Ewers to come back in? Maybe that's why Sark is not yet named the starter, because he's thinking, man, if I could get Sark some target practice against Mississippi State this week, that would be great. But I'm with you. That's a lot of points. I know Mississippi State stinks, but I got to think they have some success. But I don't know. I'd feel much better if Blake Chapin was playing over Michael Van Buren.
Which is totally fair. I won't make you pick LSU South Alabama. I'll trust that your Tigers get it done against South Alabama. And even though LSU's catching a lot of flack here recently.
The defense has been leaky. And you go look at what South Alabama's done against their past two opponents.
Uh-oh.
They gave up, they scored 87 against Northwestern State, who's you know, not a good team. But then they went to App State and hung 48 on them last week.
Upset alert in Baton Rouge?
I don't think it's upset alert, but I do think, like, if you think anybody betting, like, I told my LSU buddies who make, like, score predictions, I said, if you do not have South Alabama scoring at least 20, you need to rethink that. I think they're scoring at least 24, 28, something like that. Now, the good news for LSU is Garrett Nussmeier has been one of the best quarterbacks in the country, not named Jackson Dart so far this year. I think LSU can hang 50 on South Alabama. So
there you go.
So maybe LSU wins 55-28. But I don't know if they, you know, I don't know if they cover the 22. We'll see.
That's so funny. Arkansas, Texas A&M, neutral site, Jerry's World. You talked about how Arkansas was a couple of plays away from being 4-0. Texas A&M, who knows with them? They are favored against the Hogs. But what do you have in a neutral site matchup?
Yeah, I've been shocked. I mean, it's two games that the lines that have just been sitting there all week. That Georgia's still been sitting around a 2.5 point favorite against Bama. And that A&M's been hanging around a 4.5 point favorite over Arkansas. I don't get it because it's not a home game. I mean, it's a neutral field. And I know A&M has largely controlled this rivalry. And there's been some weird stuff. Like, I'll never forget, was it last year or the year before? Arkansas's going in to take the lead. KJ Jefferson's going on over the top of the pile with the football. It gets punched out and it goes back the other way for 6 points. It's like, man, like, just everything they could do bad in this game, Arkansas seems to do. But I just think this is a different Arkansas team with Taylen Green and Jaquindon Jackson, who's, you know, by far one of the best running backs in the country, let alone the SEC. Like, I think this is wrong team favored, especially with Connor Wigman still out. And Marcel Reed's been fine at quarterback, you know, both dual threat guys between Taylen Green and Marcel Reed. But I think there's going to be a week where Marcel Reed comes back down to earth and we go, hey, yeah, man, it ain't working this week. Keep in mind, they only won by 6 at home last week versus Bowling Green. I just think this is a game that Arkansas, if Bobby Petrino calls the plays like he wants to, even with Elko being the defensive-minded coach, I think this is an Arkansas win.
Georgia and Alabama inside of Bryant Denny Stadium under the lights, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We know all the storylines. We know all the antics, everything that's going into this game. It's the first big-time matchup with Kalen DeBoer in Alabama, first time without Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and the Dogs looking for revenge. Your thoughts on Georgia being a 2-point favorite walking into Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've gone back and forth on this game all week. Like, you know, I picked Georgia to win the national championship. I think I picked them to go 11-1 in the conference, so I did pick them to lose a game along the way. The problem is, if this is the game you think Georgia loses, then that means you've got them winning later in the season at Texas. You've got them winning at Ole Miss. You've got them winning at home against Tennessee. It's just going to be a tough ask. On the flip side, everybody and their brother this week, Jacob, has been on Alabama. Every radio show I've been on, every guest I've interviewed, almost every one of them except for Graham Coffee, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs, everybody else has picked Alabama. And look, you got all the momentum in the world. They've looked great the first few weeks. Okay, three quarters against USF, maybe it wasn't perfect, but they rebounded to go on the road at Wisconsin and won in dominant fashion in a hostile environment. Jalen Milroe has been great. You know, he's right there in the Heisman contention. The running game has gotten going here with the offensive line getting healthy. Kate Proctor back. Jam Miller's running the football well. You know, defense has played very well, and then they're at home. It's a night game in Bryant-Denny Stadium, a place that Alabama rarely ever loses. And you got College Game Day on campus. Nick Saban's going to be in the house. I mean, there's just so many things working against Georgia. And then I go back and look and go, well, it's Carson Beck, and it's still you know, 4 stars and 5 stars up and down that defensive line and offensive line and wide receivers and stud DBs and. And Kirby Smart has not lost many games the last 3 seasons.
Right.
And so I come back and say, are we overlooking Georgia? And again, I just got back from Vegas a few weeks ago. Those big buildings and all the lights are on. They always know something. And the fact that Georgia's still sitting as a close favorite. In fact, somebody brought up something very interesting for me with Alabama. you know, gone is Will Reichert. I just watched him kicking for the Minnesota Vikings this past weekend when they beat the Texans. This kicker that they brought in from Miami, Ohio, is a very good kicker. But if I had to pick one between him and Peyton Woodring, I think I'm taking Peyton Woodring, who I think has not missed a field goal in the year yet for Georgia.
Wow.
That's an interesting argument if you say this is a 28-28 game late in the fourth quarter, and Alabama's kicker misses a field goal, and Peyton Woodring kicks the game winner. I could see something like that playing out very well in Georgia's favor.
Who would have thought in Georgia and Alabama, two top four teams, two of the best teams we've seen in the modern football era, it would come down to talking about their kickers, Chris. Not the quarterbacks, not the coaches, not the defensive guys. The kickers is what it could come down to in Tuscaloosa.
Well, and we just saw Graham Nicholson, what, he missed his field goal attempt?
Yeah.
Against, you know, there in Wisconsin. So, again, I'm just saying it could very well be that if it comes down to it. But I'm worried about, I mean, like, I'm looking at Georgia's DBs, Dalen Everett, those guys. And dude, there's four and five-star dudes up and down that secondary. And I'm going, Ryan Williams is a freaking 17-year-old. You can't go little boy him and say, you belong in high school right now. Like, he's been awesome so far. But, like, Come on, dude, you're grown men. Go play some good football.
Yeah, get after it. Let him know. Let him know that he doesn't belong just yet. Not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying if you're Georgia, that's definitely something you've got to get. Get under his skin. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Lots of great games in the SEC, and we always have a good time talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. My man, tell people where they can find you, all the fantastic content, and where are you going to be at this weekend?
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcast. And we were planning to go on the road about a week ago. We were going to be going on the road this week, and then with the hurricane stuff, it kind of changed our plan. So probably just going to stay at home base this weekend, but we'll be on the road somewhere next weekend, certainly. So, yeah, check us out, Locked On SEC. We've got the Alabama and Georgia perspectives on our shows the last couple of days. And, of course, tomorrow's episode will have our buddy Chris Marler previewing all the games with us on Locked On SEC.
Awesome, man. Hey, stay safe in all the weather. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good, man. You too.
Thanks so much. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Go check him out wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. Just type in Locked On SEC. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Man, made a great show today. Not as jam-packed as it normally is. We had two out of three guests today, which is plenty, man. It's a lot of fun around here on Thursday afternoons. We had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joined us in hour number one. And then just got off the phone with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, talking all things Southeastern Conference, all the biggest games around the SEC. So both of those guests joined us today, plus great phone calls from you, text from you, good conversations as well. Auburn, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, NIL, lots of things we covered in the last 2 hours. So if you missed any of those, you can go and listen back to the show, back to any interviews or anything that you missed from today's show or any other show, and you can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. That's also where our SEC Football Challenge is going to be, so be sure that you can, or I guess be sure you go and get your picks in. Those are due Fridays at midnight, so you'll have until tomorrow night at midnight to get your picks in for that. Weekly giveaways, winners, I guess, prizes given to the winners from the Orthopedic Clinic and Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza and University Ace Hardware. So be sure that you go and get your picks in for that, and a grand prize winner at the very end. And a reminder, just in case you have not heard, Auburn High School football is not playing tonight. Their game on the road at Moody is canceled. That's why you currently hear my voice. No road trip for us. We'll take the week off, and we will prepare for Central Phoenix City next week. So looking forward to that game at Central Phoenix City. That's the number one team versus your number two team, the Auburn High School Tigers. So coming up tomorrow on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line, I'll be here. Uncle T-Bone will be here. Christian Griffin will probably be here. I'm not really sure. I know he's off this week for Lee Scott Academy, so we'll get an update on him and see if he's going to be here. But regardless, we do know that Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports will be here to talk to us at the start of the show to give you all of his biggest picks for week 5 of college football. Crazy to think We've been a month into this thing already, so he'll give his biggest picks for Week 5 of college football. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. And then we'll have a lot of breakdown. We'll talk Auburn, Oklahoma. We'll talk Alabama, Georgia. And also going to have Auburn's head volleyball coach Brent Crouch will stop by tomorrow as well as the Tigers open up SEC play with a top 25 team in the Kentucky Wildcats. So all of that on the show tomorrow. Be sure you tune in. Myself, Uncle T-Bone, you never know who else is going to stop by on a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Thank you so much for being here. Shout out the Orthopedic Clinic for bringing you the second hour of our show each and every day. You can check them out online at theorthoclinic.com. Back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN. Stay safe tonight, okay? Weather's supposed to be bad. Hopefully better tomorrow. So when I say stay safe, I really do mean it, okay? I'm Jacob Goins. We're back tomorrow, so do stay safe, and I will talk to you later.